Agents of Damned is a podcast intended for adults, featuring mature content that includes, but is not limited to, cursing, swearing, vulgar language and themes, verbal depictions of sexual themes and ideas, and potentially triggering depictions of depression, alcoholism, horror, and emotional and verbal abuse. Listener discretion is advised.
Everyone, and welcome back to Agents of Damned, Age of Despair. I am your sometimes benevolent, often malevolent dungeon master, Jordan Hoshi Roman. And as always, I am joined by my fellow players.
Hi guys, I'm Katie, and I play Safe.
Hi guys, I'm Christina, and I play Wintera.
And I'm Drew McLean, and hey guys. You ever felt like if you were like writing a manga series and you had a character who's just like way too powerful and you couldn't figure out what to do with them, so you just like left them while the rest of the characters left on a boat?
What?
Yeah, go on.
And then like, you know, just, you know, you never admitted that that was like, you know, why you made that decision. I play the good Dr. Arlegon, sponsored by the concept of a rocky fucking fridging purple haze.
Okay.
Hey, Katie, right. Did you catch that one as quickly as I did?
You're drinking purple. Okay.
Yeah, that's what reminded me of it.
Is that he's getting more use out of purple haze than a rocky did.
Hold on.
You're drinking the purple haze bang. That's not going to. There you go.
Purple haze.
Focused. All right.
Drinking purple haze.
Also, does anyone get the vibe when Drew says, hey, of like early Arlo energy of singing in the backwards chair? Or is that just me?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
Yep.
Okay.
Maybe that's what it has been this whole time, is me channeling backwards chair Arlo.
Is that really it?
No.
Yeah.
I had to come up with a new bit and I panicked one day and like it became the bit.
Oh. It's okay.
Anywho. Last time, the agents were set upon by Nightwalkers and forced to retreat back into the Troll Village. Assuming they'd be safe, they were quickly surprised when the Nightwalkers managed to sneak their way into the city through the opening to the Giant Trials. Taking action, the agents decided to distract the Nightwalkers, using themselves as bait to allow the trolls time to escape. After managing to escape the city, the agents guided the trolls through the forest. However, they were cornered by a group of Nightwalkers at the river they had crossed along the way, but were saved by Snapdra. Upon returning to the encampment, Arlo, Saith, a teary-eyed Wintera, and Kespa managed to secure safe provisions for the trolls. However, their peace was short-lived when Kamodra began to succumb to the troll rot. As she gave Arlo a sorrowful goodbye, the moment was interrupted by a foul odor. The smell in question was an extra serving of Fondledy, which was potent enough to cure the incurable affliction. Now back in Neverwinter, the group has been reunited with their loved ones. However, our heroes have pressing matters they need to discuss. And thus, we resume our tale. So, who wants to go first?
I do.
Katie.
Oh, no, you can go ahead. You said I do.
She volunteered you.
I volunteered you. Oh. I did an imitation of your voice. It was flawless, actually.
Sounded exactly like you.
All
right. Pretty okay.
It's me, Katie. I would like to go.
Anyway, safe.
Yeah, she's walking in the distance with her ghostly little inky friend standing beside her.
Well, he's back in his, he's back in your mind.
Okay.
Yeah, he has since resumed, he's returned the tattoo, and he is back just in your head. That being said, he does still, for lack of better word, materialize before you. No one else can see him but you, but he is still there, and he does have a troubled look on his face.
Talk to me, old friend.
So, I wanted to ask you about, that last trial that you had to do. Because I know there were some that I was kind of hazed out for. I could hear that one.
I know it's no surprise to you that I have a lot of issues with abandonment. That anger, that deep anger that I had when you left. You didn't leave.
I mean,
you were taken.
That's just it, see? I was killed. And not just this last time, but a bunch of times, you've said I left. And, you know, the first few times I just took it jokingly. It's, you know, it's a rapport, right? But that last one felt real. You know I wouldn't. I wanted so badly to be able to go back.
I know, Var. But I was still a kid. And I carried that with me. Not something I've ever had the time to explore. I'm sorry that that's how I felt about it. But that is how I felt about it. It's not your fault. I just, when the evil version of you likes to bring it up, they kind of use it in a way to attack me. I mean, they do it on purpose, you know? They bring it up on purpose to hurt me. And getting you back, we haven't had a real moment to talk about it either.
Nah. Guess we haven't.
But if there's one thing that you can be assured of, Baris, it's that I love you. I mean, I adore you. I don't hold a grudge against you for dying. And it's only when your evil representations, whom are attacking me, use you dying as a way to rile me up. But it slips out. I know now, as an adult, that you dying is not you abandoning me. But it's not something that I can, you know, very easily trudge down from 15 years of not being mature enough to realize that.
Yeah. No, I think there's a part of me that knows that. But it doesn't make it hurt any less hearing you say it. When I was wandering the astral plane, lost, abandoned, left to my own devices trying to avoid all the horrid creatures that wander it, the only thing that kept me going was hoping that you were all right. And then Raven Queen came by, gave me something that few people have, a sense of purpose. It was reassuring. I could count on one hand the times before that that anyone had actually seen me as a person rather than just, at most, a convenient thing to use. Most other times, an inconvenience. And I still thought how much I wanted to make sure you were okay. That's why I made that deal with her. That I'd work for her so long as I got to help you at some point. And I guess that's why, when it slips out, part of me that knows you were just a kid when it happened, that you were still alone for so long, that part gets real quiet, and all I can think is just, she's like everyone else that saw me as just an inconvenience. And that hurts.
You were far from an inconvenience to me, Varus. Now and then. I do wish that I could see you more. I mean, I wish you could be.
I know.
More here. That's so selfish of me.
What's wrong with that?
Gives you a little smirk.
You intervened at a time in my life where I felt much the same. I mean, I was on my way to prison for stealing a loaf of bread. And those 3 years, when you showed me what it was like to have somebody caring about you, it gave me something to look for. So, no matter what, regardless of you being here with me in some way, you would have been all along, because I wouldn't have found Damned without you. You've always been watching out for me. I know that. And you dying, I had nothing to take it out on. Except for you. And, that's kind of shitty.
It's the curse of being alone. Trust me, I know. Your thoughts wander to what's familiar. So. But it is nice getting to talk to you some more. I think we should make this more of a frequent thing.
Yeah. Maybe not out in public, she says, looking around at all of the people staring at her. I really need to get better about using my inside voice.
I mean, you could have gone to, like, I don't know, an alleyway or something. That's kind of on you. I've held you long enough. We'll have plenty more times to work things out. Should probably get back to your boyfriend before he starts, what was the phrase they used? Going for the knife?
Yeah, I gotta shut that down. I gotta nip that in the bud. I gotta nip that in the man bun, right now.
Yeah, no, he makes us look like we've already got our shit figured out. Please, go before that gets worse.
Yep. Yep.
Till next time, kid.
And he sort of fades back to your... the more back part of your subconscious as you go back to Barden. Let's move on to Wintera.
God damn it.
So you and Bookworm are sort of walking along. Have you guys been talking about anything along the way, or has it been relative silence?
I think Wintera has been prodding Bookworm to try to talk about, like, what Bookworm has been doing and what she's been experiencing, and very much keeping the conversation almost intentionally focused off of her. I don't know if she's been doing a good job at hiding that she's been intentionally trying to keep the conversation on Bookworm, though.
Let's find out. Roll a deception check.
Great. I think she has a zero in. No, it's a six.
Yeah, no, Bookworm is able to catch on to that. And she's like, Wintera, you've asked me what I've been doing about 5 times now. The answer hasn't changed.
What? What? No, no, I just feel bad that I haven't been trying to make better decisions and trying to see you more, so I just want to make sure that, you know, I didn't miss anything while we've been not talking.
And Tara?
Yeah?
Please don't lie to me.
Wintera sort of sighs and, like, looks off and, like, she's just kind of takes a second and sort of studies herself. She's like, it's not a total lie. I do actually care. And I do feel bad that we haven't been talking much since sort of everything happened. I mean, we haven't really talked about, like, us or what we both want out of everything or any of this.
She starts blushing.
But Bookworm, we're both in a situation where things can go bad really fast, and in very similar ways. If things like that happen, do we want to know about it from each other?
Well, if something bad were to happen to you, I think I'd want to know so I could help.
Wintera sort of, like, feels her breath catch in her chest. Bookworm, are you sure?
At this point, assuming you guys even were still walking, you guys have definitely stopped at this point as she turns to you and just says, Tara, please, tell me what's bothering you. I don't like seeing you like this.
Wintera, like, if she hadn't already, definitely slips the ring off of her finger that has Pendleton in it, and she just kind of, like, puts it in a pocket on her cargo pants, not with spices, different pocket.
Oh, good. I was afraid I was going to have to narrate him covered in turmeric.
And, she says, okay, I'll tell you, but I do need to drop this off first. She pats the pocket with the ring, says, there's, I think I've told you about Pendleton before, at least I've mentioned him briefly. Yeah, I've learned more about him, or the team has learned more about him, and then I found out about the information, and I need to drop him off somewhere so he can have a conversation of his own. And she kind of, like, takes Bookworm's hand and, like, pulls her along towards the back alleyway with the secret door and does a little knock for the secret password.
The guy opens up the little notch and is like, password.
Pendleton.
Latch closes, he opens up the door and motions you in.
And Herrick kind of nods at him, says, is Milo here?
Yeah, over in the back.
She's gonna go back and, does she see Elima?
Elima's actually over with Milo. It looks like they are discussing something. There's three people at a table, like, over a map. You recognize Milo and Elima, and then a third person that you've never seen before, but looks oddly flamboyant for a thieves' guild.
Winterior just kind of walks up to them and does a brief, like, hello wave at both Milo and Elima.
They, like, briefly nod instinctively, but then they, like, double take the back up, like,
oh, hey, wasn't expecting to see you here. What's up?
I think I have someone that you specifically need to talk to.
He looks at Bookworm.
Not when Tara sees that, she's not my girlfriend. She pulls out the not spiced ring and sort of like holds it out for him.
He is very taken aback when he sees that ring, and he just takes like,
where did you get this?
I bought it, and it's got someone inside of it I've recently made, I guess friends is a good word.
I'm sorry.
Who I think the
inside?
Two of you need to make friend back, yes. Put it on.
He looks around confused, looks over at Elima, who just gives him like a coy nod, and he puts on the ring, and there's just silence for a moment. And then Milo's eyes go very wide. And he just, like, stares at you in just this pure shocked confusion. Like, he doesn't know what to say. And then after a moment, he's like,
if you guys will excuse me for a moment.
And he just kind of walks off to a separate room.
Oof. And Tara sort of like shakes her head and is like, oh, if I ever get to talk to Pendleton again, he's going to yell at me for that one because I never told him I was doing that. But he might have been able to just tell that I was going to anyway. I don't know how far that whole mind connection thing works.
Well, for what it's worth, Milo told me he was a pretty sharp guy. So I imagine he kind of put two and two together when he realized where you guys were walking.
Yeah, probably. He's still going to yell at me.
Yeah, but I'm sure Milo will appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing that.
Yeah, of course. Sorry I couldn't get by sooner.
It's cool. Save me the trouble of stealing the ring for you.
What?
Oh, that conversation was happening no matter what. You think when I found out what that ring was that I wasn't immediately going to do that? No. I wanted to give you some time to see if you would do it, and, time was almost up.
Oh, somehow I find I like you more and more as time goes on when you're not cursed.
Yeah, I hear not being cursed brings out my better side.
I feel that. Sure, looks down at her own little mark and it's like, definitely understand.
Yeah, kind of rough.
Yeah, anyway, can you find us if that ring is coming back to me and just sort of give it back to me later? If it's not, then just let me know.
She thinks about it for a minute and says, the real question is, will I feel like letting you know I've returned it?
When Tara looks at her, and just like, please.
Oh, no, you'll realize one way or another. It's just a question of, will it be me telling you or will it be a angry gnome yelling at you in your mind? Depends
please.
On my mood, I guess.
I don't need any more people yelling at me.
Fair enough.
And Toro just kind of nods and is like, well, if you'll excuse us.
See ya.
is going to take Bookworm, and she's actually going to lead Bookworm towards this, like, little park-ish area that's kind of nearby where the gym is, so they can go sit down. She's like, so, did you ever get the message I sent about, oh, what would it be now? Several months ago? Back about a circus.
The one from Bug? Yeah, I got that. I stayed away from the docks, like you said. It wasn't one of our areas to check over. And I kind of just figured you'd talk to me when you were ready. Took a little bit, but...
Yeah, that night, did you hear about the Nightwalkers that got into the city? And Wintera's kind of keeping her voice down in case there's people nearby so that she doesn't freak people out.
Her eyes go wide. Like,
no, I didn't hear anything about that. Are you okay?
There were two of them. Barden and Milo and a few of the others got one of the ones that went to town and took care of it. And we had to deal with one of the ones by the circus. I guess that circus showing up basically left a hole open for them to show up. I don't really know.
Glad you were able to take care of it.
Do you know what happens when they kill you?
Tara, you're starting to scare me.
Tara doesn't really say anything for a second. She says, do you know what happens?
Yeah, we were briefed on it.
That fight didn't go how we thought it was going to go, Bookworm. And, let's just say they, found a wish.
She's like, you see her eyes sort of like dart back and forth as she's like, trying to put the pieces of what you said together. And then she suddenly puts her hands over her mouth as if to gasp, and tears begin to well up in her eyes.
Hey, it's okay. I mean, it's not okay, but I'm back now, and we know more about them than we did before. And I'm sorry for not saying anything sooner or coming to you sooner. I just...
She hugs you.
Bookworm, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I didn't do anything wrong.
I didn't want to hurt you, Bookworm.
Hera.
I'm sorry I wasn't as strong as you thought that I am, but I have friends, and I just am so glad for them and for you.
She pulls you away from the hugs, not letting go, like still holding on to you, but so she can look at you. And she says,
Tara, you don't have anything to be sorry for. And even if that happened, you're still one of the strongest people that I know. I mean, I can't imagine how hard it must have been to hold on to that for as long as you have. But you're right, you do have friends. You don't need to shoulder that burden on your own.
I just didn't know how to start talking about it. It's kind of hard when, you know, all your life, one of the people that was part of your family was kind of dead and then suddenly came back. And now even your mom is, like, all torn up about things like that. Like, I haven't even told them about it. I think... think my grandmother knows, but I don't think anyone else does.
Bookworm pulls her hands back, and you see that one of her hands reaches up towards her throat. And she says,
I know how hard it can be to open up about these things. I know it feels like it's going to hurt more to do it. But believe me, it hurts far more to keep it bottled up. When I showed my dad's what I could do, what I could actually do, I felt light. Like this heavy burden had been lifted off my shoulders. It was scary, but freeing. It felt like all the pain attached to that. All the times I thought I had to hold on to it for myself. I felt so silly after that. It's not weak to open up to people.
And she looks back to you and says,
I think when you're ready, you should tell your family. Only when you're ready.
Tara's sort of fidgeting with a leaf or some other object in her hands at this point, just kind of looking down at her lap, and looks up at Bookworm and meets her eyes and just kind of nods. It's like, I think you're right. We are, girlfriend's a good word, right?
She blushes and like kind of like looks away, but you can still see like the corner of a smile.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, good. I was worried. You're gonna have to tell me what happens in the rest of that book you really like, because I've tried reading it and I just cannot get through the rest of it. I am so sorry.
It's okay. I'd love to tell you more about it. I think it'd be nice for us to just talk. It has been a bit.
How do you feel about flying?
Okay with it if it's with you.
Oh, stop it!
I can show you the world.
When Bookworm says that, when Tara conjures a couple of probably jock birds.
The most romantic thing to fly on.
Yeah. Couple of jock birds for them. Just, let's go. Let's go do some
jock
flying.
Jock bird.
Shut up.
But they're wearing blazers and a little bow tie. Or not a bow tie, but a little...
Yes, a bow tie.
Little vest. Here's some got a hold of the jock birds before they were sent out. It's like, no, I've heard there's romance in the air. I have to step in here.
Here's some just burst into Elorian's, like, jock bird chambers. And it was like, hold on. I need to work on these birds first.
jock bird?
Each one like props one of you on their shoulders so that they can, you guys are like close to each other, and then they sprint off into the night sky.
Incredible.
I guess actually it would be daytime now, but you know.
Please. So romantic, and then they die.
They're dead now.
Okay, and that just leaves the one that I'm hoping will not cause me to tear up. Arlo!
Ryan, so Taco Tuesdays are fucking imperative. I'm on it, like, the fact that you skip them speaks volumes to how much you have left to understand about how to lead these men.
And I keep telling you there is no reason to take an entire day deprived of any form of training or drill work or any, not it's even like a simple like planning
positive
lecture.
Reinforcement.
They can look eat up, while they train.
All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy and makes soldiers hate their lives.
Look, I don't know who this Jack is, but I'm sure they are a very efficient soldier.
Arlo looks at her for like a long time with that one. Like he has like a moment, like he doesn't say it out loud, but he says it in his brain. And he's like, I can't believe I was into you.
There is a long pause of you two just like staring daggers at each other as you guys are currently in the middle of what is essentially a makeshift hospital with all of your soldiers in various forms of casts and bandage up. Most of them can barely even walk. They all but tackled you, those of them that could still move, when you finally showed back up, pleading with you to save them from the, and I quote, she-devil.
Oh, God. Those poor men.
Some of them are in full body casts.
I mean, look at the state of them. I asked you if they're all in one piece, and this is...
And I told you their limbs were all still there and attached. Now tell me, are they still attached?
By string? You said functional.
Yes, their bodies are still functioning. They're not dead.
I feel like that's a loophole. I feel like you're doing lawyer speak.
Well, first of all, when you're a noble, you kind of have to learn that crap.
That's true. You
kind of learn that stuff. Anyway, my point is, I've been trying to get Hope over here so she can heal them so we can continue onward, but I can't get a hold of her for some reason.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen Hope either. Shoot, is Hope like still like around?
Yes.
Oh, good for her. She always seemed capable.
I don't believe you when you say that.
What? She's doing her best.
She folds her arms like, you remember literally anything about her?
Yes, her name
name
is
one
Hope.
Thing. Name one other thing.
She's blue?
She's red.
That is what that's how I pronounce red.
Why'd you just say red?
What?
Anyway, ignoring your complete and utter, at this point, it almost feels like just willing negligence of Divine Shield.
That's the team she's on.
Yeah. Oh my gods, Arlo.
Look, okay, just, you know, bear with me. All right, so. There's a Friday Night Fun Pals, real fun guys. This team's second chance to work with them closely before. There's Divine Shield, who I think we've met like once, and they don't really leave much of an impression as a unit.
They're one of my best teams.
Yeah, but do they have like an ounce of charisma like between the three of them? Like, gosh.
One's a paladin, the other's a sorcerer. Yes, they ooze charisma.
Do they, though?
Yes! You just
don't know,
talk
they
to
seem
them.
A little, they seem a little white bread to me. I don't know.
Nothing
about them is stuck in my mind. I'm sorry. I don't have any ill will. I just keep forgetting about them.
Maybe if you decided to talk to them.
I don't know. I got enough friends.
Well, either way, I have given you my notes. You are free to train them as best you see fit.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the factor of we get in more training time if we don't have to spend this much time healing.
And I stand by, it's just building stronger bodies.
It's not how bodies work.
Look to me.
Yeah, but you're weird.
Gonna ignore that. How is Kespa, anyway?
Oh, she's doing alright. She's, you know, really coming to her own. She, like, really showed up for this mission. You know, took charge, helped us, like, you know, start a peace with the trolls against the trolls with the dragonborns, helped us find the Orcus Prince. We did a pretty rousing rendition of you know that song everybody knows, that old Modi went down to Mathmere. You know that song that everybody knows.
Yeah, I know it.
You know, formed a little bit of fiddling with it to get the attention of some Nightwalkers that we drew away. She had the great idea to use grease and some fire to, like, you know, really kind of get those guys running. She's a pretty solid. Pretty solid yes. Hang, pretty solid soldier.
Well, I can't say I'm surprised about her combat efficiency, after all. And she leans in real close and does not break eye contact. I trained her.
Oh my god, you trained her?
Yeah.
No wonder she has so many neuroses.
Wait, what?
Not breaking eye contact. You might have taught her how to fight. I taught her not to doubt herself literally all the time. I wonder where that came from.
Look, I am working through that. Well, if you'll excuse me, I have an appointment to get to. And then, other business. I trust that I will see you at the planning meeting later tonight. Yes?
Yeah, probably. We'll see where the night takes us. Definitely, maybe.
Hello?
All right, I'll be there.
Goodbye. And she walks off. Because you spent so much time with her, I will say you can kind of tell it is very much like a... She is trying to act proud, but you did rattle her a little bit.
Oh, does like a small fist pump, like, yes. Introspection.
Sir, can you please help? It hurts when I pee.
Oh, God.
Davies, you're gonna have to muscle through that. There's nothing I can do about it. You know, I don't do healing magic no more.
But you're a doctor!
I mean, yeah, but,
fix my bad hurt pee!
Listen, bud, what was done to you is beyond any level of modern medicine. What was done to you was, you might as well have, you know, gone up against a god themselves.
Can I at least get some chill the fuck out juice?
You know, I always got some chill the fuck out juice, and he just, like, hands me a little vial.
My arms aren't working too good. Can you just, like, upend the bottle into my mouth, please?
Oh, sweet baby Jesus.
Yeah, all right, Pat.
Thank you, sir. He just, like, corked it in his mouth.
Carlos spends, like, you know, probably a little bit too long with, like, the men, like, feeding them calm the fuck down juice.
You promised them an emergency Taco Tuesday, even though it is Saturday?
No, we do, what is it? It was like, well, we can't do a Taco Tuesday, it's not Tuesday. We can do, and he looks at, like, you know, his watch, his pocket watch or something, and he's like, it is. Technically, we could do a very late Fajita Friday.
I think that feels in the spirit, sir.
A late Fajita Friday, it'll be then.
Their chorus of cheers rings out throughout the town.
Fajitas.
So fucking stupid.
And now, a quick word from our sponsors.
Yeah, and so I was just, yeah, I was talking about the thing, you know, with the...
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Drew, are you okay? Drew, you good?
Oh, God, no.
Yes. Oh, no, yes. They got him.
Yes. He turned into the Dice Gremlin.
It's his eye, the Dice Goblin.
Gremlin.
Goblin. I wrote the commercial. It's the fucking Dice Goblin. Katie.
Oh no, not the Dice Goblin. Dice Goblin, why are you here?
I am here for I am the dark passenger within you all that you cannot sate.
He's right. I feel the need to buy dice now, but wherever will I do that?
You'll never be able to get enough high quality dice at a low price to satiate me. There is no such place to get such things.
That's not true.
What?
You can go to www.adventuredice.ca.
and put in the code AGENTS at your time of purchase, you'll get 10% off.
Wow, do they have, like, a wide variety of things to choose from? Like, regular dice, small dice, big dice, wooden dice, metal dice, sharp-edged dice, and,
Even D6 and D10 sets.
Wait, they have D6s and D10 sets? Shit!
Exactly, and you can get almost every single set, with the exception of the Andrea's Adventurous Charity set.
That's still over 300 dice to choose from!
So many dice! Your dice goblin will surely be satisfied.
Now, with all of these dice available, the dark passenger has been saved and I am vanquished! No!
Oh god, did you die?
Hey guys, what's up? What did I miss?
There he is, he's all good.
Hey, thanks AdventureDice.ca!
I don't know what's going on, I left to get a sandwich.
Okay. So you all continue about going through the remainder of your day.
Oh, can I do like one more thing?
I was gonna ask if anyone had anything else they would like to do.
Yeah. But Arlo, you go ahead, because we're still on you.
Alright, cool. I wanna go by and see like Nisa.
Alright.
Nisa and Agrim?
Morgrim.
Morgrim. I was close.
Sure.
Yeah, there. As long as you ignore half the letters you said, but go on.
Hey, fuck you. So I go see Nisa and Morgrim. I just kind of like, you like lean my head into their shop like, what's up?
You literally are greeted by a massive fireball as you dip your head in and have to duck right back out.
Yay!
It works!
Well, it works.
Oh! Hey, Arlo! What's up?
Sigh, dude.
Morgrim, like, goes over to you and, like, jumps up to give you a high five.
I return the high five heartily.
Yeah. And you see that he and Nisa appear to have been working on some form of cannon.
Oh, what's with the cannon?
Oh, well, I'm glad you asked. This is a little thing I've been working on. I had the idea of, you know, sometimes you find yourself in situations, and I'm sure you have found this as well, where you just need to blow stuff up, but you don't have anything on hand, like all your dynamite's gone, or you're out of spell slots, and you need something, right?
I follow. Continue.
So, I thought, why not have a more portable, less resource-hungry option, and so I have this. And she, like, slaps on the cannon, and as she does, it, like, shrinks down to a smaller size, like it fits in the palm of her hand. And she then shows it to you and says, I present the pocket cannon!
Wow, that's really cool. Don't point it at me.
Oh, don't worry. It's okay. It doesn't work when it's tiny. And she, like, pokes it a little bit, and then, like, a fireball spits out from it and, like, creates a almost, like, bullet-sized hole through the wall. Just, like, in theory...
Yep, that.
Morgan, write that down. We gotta work on that. Got it.
That would have thought on that one.
It's all part of the process. Anyway, what brings you here?
Well, I was stricken with a sudden bout of inspiration. And I got a new weapon. He brings the dragon lance out and he goes, cha-cha! And stabs it into the ground.
Ooh. You have my undivided attention.
This, my friend, is a dragoon lance. And I had an idea that there's only one person on this earth I think could actually make it work. And he says to himself, sorry, Sibo.
Sibo, off in a garden somewhere, like, rolls over and falls onto the ground.
Why is he out in a garden? Is it just because he's a gnome? Is that a garden gnome joke?
No, it was just because I was thinking, like, you would be, like, sitting on, like, a fountain edge or something and just, like, rolls over, and I thought that'd be funny. Don't be gnomist.
I don't know, you're saying, like, Sibo's out. It sounded like you were being gnomist here. It's like Sibo, who's out in a fucking garden somewhere, the fucking gnome. That's where they hang out.
First of all, there's rock gnomes, and there's forest gnomes. In D&D, there's no garden gnomes. Get it right.
Lawn gnomes.
Anyway,
so Arlo looks at Nisa, he's like, what do you think about a lance with some gears and mechanisms that can transform into two big-ass swords.
Hmm.
Does that not sound like the dopest shit?
It is certainly in my top 10 most dope shit ideas I've ever heard.
And the only person I can think of that could do this without likely destroying the lands of the process, please don't destroy the lands of the process,
no promises,
is you. And Morgrim, also. Morgrim should
have. Damn straight!
Hell yeah, Morgrim. Another high five.
He leaps up as high as he can to match you. Split this into two swords. Hmm.
But can also turn back into a lance.
Of course. Otherwise, you'd just be asking me to reforge it, and at that point, anyone can do that.
Oh yeah, that'd be stupid.
Precisely. Hmm. Yeah, I think I can do something with that, and oh, and she like runs over to like a little notebook and just begins like almost faster than you can like trace, just like scribbling notes and little sketches in the notebook. You think you see smoke coming up for a moment, and Morgan's like puts a hand on your side and is like,
I would evacuate the premise if I were you. She is currently in free thinking mode, and that is when she is at her deadliest.
Yeah, I'm getting that vibe. I'm gonna mosey on out of here. Are you gonna be okay?
Are you kidding me? I live for this moment!
You guys are weird. I'll catch you later.
See you later, buddy!
So yeah, they will be having a fun night with that.
Ta-da! Alright, that was my thing.
Okay. Saith, I believe you also said you had something else you wanted to do.
Yep. So Saith is going to find Barden again.
Uh-huh.
And,
he's leaning up against the wall again, still trying to look cool.
All right, she doesn't use the term, we have to talk. That's dangerous territory.
Look, when Tara grew up in a forest, and she's very direct because her charisma is not the highest, so that doesn't come off as concerning to her.
Also, her dad.
Also, her father.
Do better.
Be stronger.
Be stronger.
Yeah, so she's gonna just kind of tug him and pull her with him. Like, come on, you. Come with me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Whatever you want.
All right. And, I don't know. I guess they go to his apartment or something.
All right. Yeah, sure.
Cool.
Go over to his apartment. I imagine you're familiar with the place.
Yep. And she's just gonna be like,
all right, you. First things first. I haven't listened to any of those voicemails. I don't know what they say.
You don't have to listen to them. It's fine. It's really not a big deal.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and delete them.
Thank you.
But, so what I want to say here is the nature of this job does kind of put me out a little bit. It's going to be hard for me sometimes to reach you. Never assume that it's because I don't love you.
Right. Yeah, sorry about that. It's...
Barden, I love you.
Okay, he, like, immediately turns around, like, you could see him, like, tugging on his collar. He is very flustered.
Oh.
Yeah, she's just gonna come up behind him and hug him from behind. She's gonna put her head on his shoulder because she's definitely taller than him.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
You know, her tail is just gonna be swishing around on the floor, just, like, petting his leg, I guess. I don't know. It's doing something. Her tail is always doing something.
Look, if you want to take him to the bedroom, just say so. God damn.
No, but she's gonna be like,
this is gonna be the biggest thing for us. This will be the first hurdle, and we crossed it pretty easily. I just need you to trust me.
Yeah, I know. I do trust you. You just lose a lot of people in this line of work.
You're more than welcome to worry about me.
And I do.
I worry about you constantly.
Yeah, it's... Now that I've started talking to people about these things, it has brought out some other, not necessarily angry emotions that have apparently been buried deep, deep down in me. Didn't know about those, dealing with that. But...
Comes with abandonment.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
I'm not gonna abandon you.
He places his hands on yours and... I know.
Even if I die, I'm not gonna abandon you.
Yeah, I... Wait, what?
I mean, there's always gonna be some threat to it because of the what we do. But even if I die... I'm...
Yeah, no,
I'm
I heard you. I need you to explain that one. Are you gonna haunt me?
Well, I'm always gonna be watching over you somehow. In a protective manner.
Is it weird that that's kind of hot?
I mean, only if it doesn't bother you that I kind of have that same exact,
No, you told me.
Okay, cool.
That one a little bit less...
dynamic.
A little bit
as
less
long as
so
you don't
that,
mind that.
I don't mind it. Not,
he's not even here right now, so we're good.
It's something I try not to think about sometimes.
Not that I don't like him. When
Varys actively doesn't. He chooses not to see during those moments.
Yeah, I assume that Varys has the ability to maybe go into the Raven Queen's realm.
It's more he turns off access to you for a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He's just like, he has his own bedroom. He just sits down in a chair with a cup of coffee, just like reading a book, waiting for it to be over, like
playing Astral Xbox.
God damn it, Astral Wi-Fi is way too astral slow.
God, they're taking a long time.
Just wait until the sock comes off the door, and then I can exist outside this room again.
Oh my god, wait. Does Safe have, like, some sort of, like, mind sock?
A mind sock?
She's got, like, a mind sock on his little mind door.
I mean, this is all a bit. I don't imagine he actually has a bedroom with an Xbox in your mind. That's insane.
No. Well, now wait. Hold on.
No. I'm stopping you right there. We're not exploring this.
No, but when Saith is done, when Tara has one more thing too.
Okay, good. We rounded out.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I'm good. They gon' fuck, and then y'all can do whatever you want.
You guys have that moment with you guys just affirming to each other that you'll trust each other, work through your issues, and then bust out the toys and we fade to black.
Nice.
Now, Wintera, you said you had something else you wanted to do.
Yes. I will give you guys the choice, because there's two things she wants to do, and they don't have to go in any particular order of when they happen. We can either get Wintera giving Bookworm the ring, or we can get Wintera going and talking to either Hearsome or Titania.
I so desperately want it to be the former first. Do it in order it was presented. Please, I beg of you, I need this scene.
Yes.
Because I was like,
obviously.
Can do either.
Like, how is that even a question?
Yeah, we just ended on a fade to black of Saith pegging Barden. We're not, like, in a point where we need to, like, talk
what
seriously.
What is up with you guys in pegging today? Saith is a top, but why is she the one doing the thrusting?
Because we rolled for Barden.
We can't fathom what else Barden's doing in the bedroom.
Well, I need to compose myself. Stop talking. I'm not talking anymore.
I mean, Barden might be good at mouth play. You don't know.
Yeah, nah. He's getting pegged. That's funnier in my mind, and so it is true in my brain. That's my headcanon. I don't care what else is true.
Okay. So, Wintera and Bookworm are doing their, like, adventure in the sky, And when Tara suddenly, like, is flushed from both, like, the wind and also the thought that comes to her mind of, I don't want to know why you're laughing. You good?
Because I forgot you guys were doing an air quotes romantic flight through the sky on the jockbirds, which just makes this so much better. Keep going. Do not stop.
Okay. When Tara is, like, flushed from this romantic flight in the sky with the jockbirds, and she suddenly somehow inexplicably turns even redder when she realizes, oh, right, I have this object I want to give to Bookworm, and I've been meaning to give it to her for literal months now because this event happened in, like, canon time months ago, and I've been meaning to try to give this to her. And she's like, hey, Bookworm, let's, like, go back to, like, this area where, like, all the other weird bunkers are that we've somehow inhabited, because I have something I need to show you, and I think it's under my old bed.
Oh, okay, sure. It sounds like she's shouting because she has to, like, druid craft a wind stronger than the, like, wind blowing past you guys as you fly through the sky.
Oh. But Tara doesn't bat an eye, but directs the jockbirds down so they land, and she, like, pulls Bookworm, once they land, into the old room that her and Saith used to share before they, like, reconnected with Arlo and started staying with Arlo at the fight club. Mm-hmm. And she, like, kind of, like, dives under her bed, and it's super dusty. There's a bunch of sticks and leaves and rocks and shit that she's collected, and she's just, like, pulling them out from under the bed. She's like, no, not this. Also not this. Ignore that.
Bookworm does not bat an eye at any of this.
And she's like, oh, there's that cactus I've been meaning to give you. And just.
Do you pull that out?
And she sort of, like, brushes it to the side. Just like, this is like a trimming of a piece of cactus that I, like, have been meaning to give you. The other one's actually back at the old base. But cactuses apparently fall off and repropagate, according to Arlo. I don't know. I don't really understand cacti.
I'm getting very cartoony vibes here of you just, like, digging through your bed and just, like, throwing things out. Yeah. You know, like, nope, nope, yep, not that, nope, not that. Like, you got a rubber chicken, like, dirty underwear, like, a broken piece of gun chuck, like.
I'm getting a vibe of, like, when Tara's like, oh, here's a cactus I meant to give you, and her absentmindedly tossing a cactus at her girlfriend.
No.
It's fine.
Bookworm just like, just, hot potato.
Just plant pieces. And she's like, oh, here's the box. Because, you know, it's further back. Because this has been in canon time literal months. And so it's kind of far back from all of her stuff. And she pulls it out. And it's like this intricately, like, hand-carved wooden box that she's kind of made for it. And she, like, kind of covers it for a second. And it's a small box because it's only got a ring in it. And she's like, I'm going to start this by saying, this isn't the object that I think you're going to think it is. Because Arlo has told me that this object means different things in most people's culture, and it's not meant to be that. I got sucked into this weird other dimension situation and found this object, and I thought you might like it, and I wanted to give it to you, but I've been told that it means something else, and so I really need to make sure you don't freak out.
Bookworm, holding the little piece of cactus that you said was for her, just looks at you, like, very confused, like, okay. No, you wait your turn. You stop. Put that hand down.
No, you don't have a question.
No.
No, you don't. So when Tara, like, pulls the box forward, and she, like, it's like a wooden box. It's got, like, a little lid on it. And it's, like, mm-hmm. It's intricately carved because she's done the carving herself. And so it's got, like, all these cute little runes on it.
And she's a master woodcrafter.
I mean, no, but that's one of the only few things that she's done. So it's just, like, it's very, like, crudely, like, done, but it's cute. And yeah. So she pulls off, and there's a ring inside, and she's like, oh, wait, hold on a second. I think I was supposed to do this a different way. And so she gets on the ground holding the box. She's like, but remember, it's not the...
Okay, wait, no, hold on. When you say getting on the ground, do you mean like you lie down on the floor planking, holding this box out in front of you? I need to know what you mean by that, because there's 1,001 possibilities, each more hilarious than the last.
So... Arlo had told her you get on your knee. So what she does is she, like, gets on her knees holding the box in both of her hands.
Wait, hold on. Slide getting on her knees, plural.
Yeah.
Do you risky business this box to her?
Yeah, she does a power slide to give her the box.
Yeah. She said, this object's supposed to be given this way, so... I want to make sure...
Oh!
Yeah! Oh, thank you, Portland!
Oh, thank you everyone so much for listening. Podcast over. I'm done. I got all I needed. Oh, boy.
Yes.
Okay, let's see. You have just gone off for about a good 20 seconds about how she should not think about this the wrong way.
Yes.
With zero context otherwise.
Yes.
Risky business power slid your way in front of her. Yes. And double palmed a ring in front of her.
Yes.
What does Bookworm think?
What does Bookworm think?
I don't know.
I think, depending on how long of a pause there is, Buntera's going to start talking again.
Go ahead and start talking again.
When Tara, realizing there's a weird pause, she's like, so I got sucked into this weird portal and I found this ring in a box with a bunch of other objects. And apparently it's like a spell storing ring that is only for druids. And I thought it might be nice if I put one of my higher level conjure animals in it for you.
Oh, that's where you got this from. Okay. It took me a minute to realize where the fuck this ring came from.
Yeah, no, it's a Bard Rock crossover from the musical.
It's like, I don't remember you having another ring, but I'll go with it.
Nice.
Okay, yes. Now I remember this.
That's why I was like, it's okay. Months ago in canon that she got this ring. Bookworm, are you okay? You've turned like six different shades of pink.
There is...
Please don't forget to breathe.
You are, I would say, pushed back by maybe the most powerful gust of wind you have ever felt in your life. And it's not words. It's more just 1,001 different feelings. Some good, some shocked, some unsure of what to do. Others are like panic, but like good panic. And you like almost get like shot back into your bed as she's just like standing there, stiff as a board, red as a tomato, just like staring, unable to process anything.
You went from just officially saying like girlfriends to like essentially proposing in the same day.
Yeah. Bookworm, reacting in that way once Wintera, like, can, like, kind of get her footing, will stand up with the box and she'll take the ring out and go to put it on her hand.
You get blown back by another gust of wind.
Bookworm, wait, it's okay.
No, hold on. It's oh god, it's so soon. I don't know if I'm ready for that yet. Oh god.
No, I didn't. I said it wasn't meant like that. If you don't want it to be meant like that, it's okay.
But there, I don't know any other way to take this.
I just wanted to give you this cool object.
Okay. I just... I need a minute.
Okay.
Okay. She's like fanning herself like aggressively.
That's hilarious.
When Tara finds a large leaf on the ground that she's collected and starts trying to help fan Bookworm.
Thanks. She like extends out her hand like, I'll just take it and put it on myself, please. Thank you. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Gives it to her.
Thank you.
With the box.
Thank you. Yeah, she just takes the box very quickly, like jerks it towards her and like just holds it very nervously as she like looks down at the ring. Like you can see like the conflict of like she want to put it on, but she's like so nervous of the implications, even though you're saying it's not that. Her mind doesn't believe that.
Bookworm, I would tell you if I meant it differently. I don't mean it like that. It's okay.
I know. It's just, you didn't get far enough in Gone with the Wind Elemental to, it's a scene kind of like this. I read that one a lot. I really like it. It's just kind of surreal to experience it like this, and I know you don't mean it that way. I know you've said that. I believe you. It's not that I don't believe you. It's just...
I mean, did you want me to mean it like that?
She passes out.
She catches her.
Nosebleed.
Oh, fully.
Catches her, puts her gently on the bed, just like fanning her with the leaf aggressively. Like, oh god, I really hope no one walks in right now.
She pops back. I was like, oh, Ventara. Oh.
You okay?
Yeah. It's not the weirdest dream. Trip that you... She looks down, sees the ring, is like, oh. I don't think I had a dream, Ventara.
I don't think you had a dream either.
Okay. She just, like, puts the box over to the side. I'll put it on in a little bit.
It's fine.
Thank you. I really do appreciate it. Today has become a very intense day.
I'm sorry.
You're fine. You're fine. It's... Can we go get some tea, please?
Yeah. Oh, have you ever tried this little bookstore spot that's called a Spot of Time? It's really cute. Do you want to go there?
I would love to go there, please. Thank you.
Okay, let's go there.
Okay, thank you. She, like, gets up and walks with you. She is, like, sweating profusely the entire time.
Ventara just kind of leads her, because I don't think Bookworm is able to control her own motions right now.
No!
So she's got just grabbed her hand and is kind of, like, controlling where they go, not running her into lampposts.
Her body and brain are about as disconnected as they have ever been.
Tara's like, oh, I shouldn't have done this.
Oh, that's why Arlo said don't do that.
Today I fucked up when I accidentally proposed to my girlfriend.
That sounds like one of those, like, weird isekai anime titles, like, that one time I accidentally proposed to my girlfriend.
Yep. I think just kind of kill the silence of, like, while they're walking, because, like, Ventara does kind of feel uncomfortable in Neverwinter, as I've kind of hinted at before, because of just how static everything is, weather-wise and temperature-wise and everything else-wise, that she's just sort of finding herself talking without really meaning anything, and so she just kind of falls back on sort of explaining what they've been through the last week or so, for however long they've been gone, including the almost 60 Nightwalkers they encountered, without really thinking about, like, talking about the 60 Nightwalkers.
59, excuse you.
I said almost 60.
That second time you didn't.
I mean, same thing, but...
Once there's 59 Nightwalkers, what's one more?
Right, seriously, at that point.
That's my logic.
She's just talking about it. She's just like, oh yeah, and then, you know, we helped with the trolls, and we managed to get them all out, and it really sucked. And then Ash came back, and that was kind of weird and scary, and then... now he's dead. I think actually dead. And then, Emor, that one not Sniff's guy, came back. And I don't know if he's dead. I don't actually think he died. So we might have to deal with that again later. That was a problem. And she's just kind of rambling about all of this shit to Bookworm as they're walking to this place.
Bookworm's just, like, nodding in the kitchen going, uh-huh. You just, like, have, like, an occasional, like, just light breeze blow past you. You just hear, uh-huh.
Yep.
So, as you are walking along, would you like to do the other thing, or is that after you would... Yeah, if you want to.
Sure. If I'm allowed to do that at the same time.
Since Bookworm is super absent-minded right now, I feel like you could probably get away with that.
Sure, she'll,
Unless you want to do it at a separate time, and either one's fine.
No. I think because of the way that Bookworm is, Ventara might honestly absent-mindedly kind of slip into thought of, I wonder if any of the Fae Lords can help. Hearsome seems like he's really well-versed in relationships. Maybe he knows what's up and accidentally jumps into that conversation.
Yeah, relationships. That's what he's good at.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you absent-mindedly slip into this ethereal space where you can contact the different lords. And then all of a sudden, Hearsome is before. He's like, ah, hello, Shepherd.
Please call me Ventara.
As you wish, Shepherd.
Ugh, here are some.
I tease. How may I help you?
What do you know about accidentally, apparently, what's the word the people use that's not in forest? When you give a ring to someone and they take it the wrong way, what do you do?
you have proposed.
I didn't mean to!
Don't worry. I am all too familiar with misleading people into thinking I'm proposing. Happens all the time. It's a very common misunderstanding.
Oh, really? Okay, good. I'm glad it's common.
Yes. You know, you just try and shower someone with gifts, and all of a sudden they think you're just devoting yourself to them, when in reality you're just trying to earn their favor. It's a very common thing.
Oh, no, I mean, I do like her a lot. I guess we finally figured out girlfriend is the right title, but I just didn't want her to think the wrong thing. I just found this cool ring a few months back, and I've been meaning to give it to her and just haven't had the right time. And I was like, oh, wait, we're passing by the place that I've been keeping it. I should give it to you now before I forget. And then even though I told her, don't take this the wrong way, you know, she rightfully, I think, freaked out.
Hmm. Mintara, can I ask you something?
What's up?
Don't think of elephants. What are you thinking of right now?
Here's some, what the fuck is an elephant?
You know, in a weird way, that does still kind of prove my point. If you tell someone not to think of something, they're going to subconsciously think about it. So if you tell someone, don't think about it in any sort of weird way, their mind will immediately rush over to the next weird thing they think of.
So by telling her don't think about it this way, now she's only thinking about it this way.
Precisely.
Oh.
Though you can still avoid any potential, you know, confusions by not being too traditional about it, you know. In the case of accidental proposals, just don't get down on a knee.
Oh.
You didn't get down on a... Oh, Wintera, dear, you didn't.
Arlo said I should. Wait, this is how you're supposed to give people this particular object.
Wintera, dear, I have met Arlo, I think, once. I could have told you not to listen to him.
Sometimes I try to trust him here some, and I find that it becomes less and less something I can do. It's very difficult.
Yeah. Again, I could have told you that. Why didn't you just come? If you need advice on attracting a mate, you should have just come to me.
I am realizing that now, and I think that's why I accidentally ended up here.
Oh, you didn't mean to call me?
No, weirdly enough, we're walking to a tea shop right now, actually, and I just kind of ended up here. I think because I was thinking about who I could talk to about the situation, and you were the one that popped in my mind because it seemed like you were good at relationships.
Yes, I'm very good, quite well practiced in relationships.
Okay, so what do I need to do to fix this?
Let's see, in the past where I have made this folly, burn the bridge, never look back?
No, I like her.
Oh, not quite as used to that one. Have you tried turning the accident into an intention? I'm kind of spitballing at this point, honestly, because now you've entered the realm of things I'm not quite as sure about.
I did ask her if she wanted me to mean it that way. I wouldn't mind, I guess, meaning it that way. I do enjoy her presence a lot.
And how did she react?
She kind of passed out.
Oh.
But I don't think that's a bad thing. I think she's just overwhelmed.
Are you sure?
Mostly.
Well, you are the shepherd. I guess you should trust those instincts.
Clearly. How have things been here?
Oh, they've been all right. You know, all things considered.
What does that mean?
Did Sarastra not tell you when last you talked to her?
I mean, about the Nightwalkers and the situation there? No, yeah.
Yeah, no, that.
Yeah, I just didn't know if it got worse.
I mean, not really. It hasn't been that long since you talked to her.
Fae time.
Oh, it's been longer than 5 minutes for you!
Yes.
Ah!
It's been a few weeks.
Oh, That does explain a lot.
Yes. No. It has not just been 5 minutes since I got off the phone with her, accidentally proposed to my girlfriend, maybe more, and then came over here.
Yeah, I was about to say, that would be a very busy 5 minutes, but then again, I was only impressed.
Thanks, Irsum.
Anytime.
Anything you need me to pass along to Forngul for you?
I suppose it has been a bit since I've seen him. Last time you all brought him was several millennia ago.
Several millennia? Oh my gosh. Fae time.
Tell him he needs to... Once all this is said and done, I was actually thinking maybe I could go for a change of scenery. Wanted to see if maybe he needed a roommate.
Oh, okay. I mean,
you know, we're old friends. I figure, why not?
Yeah, I'll bring it up to him. So you want to come to the material plane for a little bit?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, that's kind of cool.
you know, I figure I've partied over here for, God, countless lifetimes for you. Why not have a little bit of fun over the material plane? You know, I'm sure there's plenty of relationships I could try out over there.
Hmm. I will not think about that too much. But, okay, I can pass that information along to Forngul next time I see him. It's been a little bit since I've seen him, too, because we've all been really busy, but I will...
It's also been a few millennia for you as well.
Not quite that long. Only a few months.
Right, material plane time.
Material plane time. Matera is just kind of stuck in her own thought of, oh god, I just accidentally proposed to my girlfriend and I didn't mean to. And she's like, here's some.
Yeah?
Do you guys have a plan for, on your side of things here, to deal with the Nightwalkers?
Why, yes, we actually have a completely foolproof plan that we know will see these beasts destroyed.
Oh, great. What is it?
Follow you.
Great. Great. Okay. I'm working on it. We are working on it.
Excellent. It's good to know the plan is going all according to, well, plan.
Yep.
I'm not always the most articulate, sorry.
No, you're good. We are working on it. Is there anything...
If you need any help from us, please let us know.
Will do. Is there anything else that I need to know from you specifically?
Anything you need to know from me specifically? Ah, yes! There is one thing I think is quite important that you would like to know.
Okay.
You all are still by far the favorite game of tag I've ever played.
Oh.
Aww.
I love that. Okay. Okay, well, let me know if there is anything else. I'm currently in town with my grandmother if you still need to get in touch with me in any way and can't directly get in touch with me for some reason, so. Okay.
Don't think I know your grandma.
She worked for Titania for a while.
Oh, how nice for her.
Anyway, bye, Hearsome.
Goodbye, Shepard.
Got to hear some.
I did have a question. Like, when Tara does that, like, does she, like, is it like a mind palace thing where, like, she's projecting her consciousness, or is it, like, literally, like, she's in the middle of talking to Bookworm and then she's gone?
No, it's a mind palace thing.
Okay.
I kind of imagine it like a dual consciousness thing almost, so not quite full avatar state where you can't remember what's going on around you, or not avatar state, but spirit realm.
I don't remember Aang ever doing that.
Yeah, spirit realm, like walking where he can't control his body, but like she's currently walking, that like she's kind of not fully aware, so she might bump into shit a little bit more than normal, but she's still enough aware that she's generally going to keep her body out of harm's way.
I feel like your body just goes on autopilot from whatever, yeah, like, your last conscious thought was.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, you pop back into full consciousness, and with almost amazingly perfect timing, you have wound up at the tea shop.
Perfect. When Tara pushes the door in, it's sort of this very small, almost tucked away in an alleyway tea shop with lots of books that like line up, and there's like a spiral staircase that leads up almost as if it was a tree. And there's like, a little counter where they have like a bunch of like chalkboard signs with various like daily specials and tea of the day and stuff like that, because they have like little sweets and bakery stuff too, but it's mostly tea. And it's just like the tea shop sign at the front door. It makes a little jingly sound as you walk in, spot of time.
Ding-a-ding-a-ding.
And the person manning the desk is like this like really cute like old gnome, like with a little monocle that Wintera knows by name. She's like, Antoinette, hi.
Hello, Wintera, dearie, it's so good to see you again.
Hi, I brought my girlfriend that I've been talking about that also really likes tea. I think we need something that's calming.
Oh, I see. Just one moment. I think I have just the thing. Please, have a seat.
She just motions for you guys to have a seat. She starts getting some tea ready for you.
Wintera pulls Bookworm over to one of the little, like, nook areas by the books and just sort of, like, pulls out whatever cool-looking book is nearby and places it in Bookworm's lap. Just like, oh, here, you can look at this.
Was Wintera actively looking at the books when she did that, or did she just randomly pull something?
I think she randomly pulled something, but was looking for something with a cool spine. She does judge books by their cover.
No, I know. It's just... Because it's Wintera, I also find it very funny to think, like, you judge something by how cool its spine looks. And how Wintera's probably done that outside the context of a book.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, you just place... Because it's nice and red, and just thought, I don't know, that should be good. There's no way a deep scarlet red could be misinterpreted right now.
Clearly not.
You just plop that one down. She looks down at it, turns bright red again. Thank you.
I'm not making this better, am I?
No, not even a little bit, no.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's not.
I know you're trying. I know, it's just...
I just really don't know how to handle this situation because I like you so much, Bookworm, and things are so different in, like, normal outside of forest life and here, and I keep messing them up, and I'm really sorry.
No, it's fine. I just... And she grabs you and kisses you.
Oh, shit.
Then she pulls me and is like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. I don't know why I did that. I just... You're not mad, are you?
When Tara kind of like does that thing instinctually where she like kind of like puts her hand up almost to her mouth but not quite, and she's like looking and she's like, no, that's okay.
Was it?
Yes. And Bookworm, depending on how far her face is, when Tara will like kind of like gently pull her face back towards her and like return the kiss.
She will 100% allow that on And I feel like that's a nice little place to end that scene.
Yeah.
So later that night, all of you are back at your temporary base. All of the other teams are there. The oft-forgotten Divine Shield, the ever-favorite Friday Night Fun Pals, the default other team Second Chance, and of course the surprise that everyone always remember because they've always been there, Team Killers, and then of course you with all of the other members of Damned. Ryan is at the head of this table as you are all meeting. She says,
I feel as though we have spent far too much time thinking, planning. Obviously, we've had other things to keep us busy, but I think everyone in this room would agree the world has suffered for far too long. I have tried to think of a way to get us back to base. I know we have made preparations for getting there, for attempting to take down Vincent, reclaim Odart's mind for his own body. But finding the base is always the problem. By my own design, it is nearly impossible to find it, because it is in its own separate pocket dimension. But I think I may have some idea. Now, I will preface this with saying I do not approve of this idea, even though it is my own. And I hope that we can find any other solution. But we also can no longer wait on this. I've called in some allies that I believe could help. And I believe that if we are to locate where in the multiverse our base is located, we are going to need to tear down the walls between the planes of existence.
Matera slowly raises a hand in Arlo-esque fashion.
I am hoping that this is a alternate means of going about this.
When you say tear down the planes of existence, do you mean like between all of the planes of existence physically, or more of a like talking sense?
The problem that we keep running into is locating the specific dimensional frequency in which our base is located. There's nearly infinite of them, making it impossible to locate it through divination-based means. If we remove those barriers, finding it would be much easier. Obviously, this comes with some very severe repercussions.
But, okay. And when Tara kind of eyes Bookworm for a second, she's like, would there be any reason that the flowers are inhibited in the archives right now from growing?
It's not that they are. I'm sure they are flourishing fine, but if it was so simple to simply teleport there via the plants, I'm sure we would have been able to do that by now. I assure you, we have tried these things. That alone will not be sufficient. We need a means of pinpointing it. And now I will also go ahead and say, out of character, for this, if I say anything that makes it sound like I am poo-pooing an idea that you guys have come up with, that is not what I am doing. Okay. My aim for this is, I want to find a, I want you guys to be able to, like, find a way to, like, break down each individual problem. So, as it stands, there, you need to be able to figure out, like, find a way to pinpoint specifically where the base is. If you want to do the tree stride thing, that is,
it needs to be on the same plane of existence.
Yes, which means you need to find that. But if you can find a way to pinpoint it, the tree stride thing can work.
It's transferred via plants that she's thinking of.
Location of the object is on a jewel, and location of that jewel is on a sentient being. So if we could locate that sentient being, i.e. by finding like a blood sample from them and doing some magics to trace them there, then that could be feasible.
So I assume scrying on Narif isn't working right now.
Yavim has been out searching for him after we were teleported here. It appears that Narif had gone into hiding. We've been trying to find him, but he has not been making it easy. I assume he is scared. I hope to hear back from him soon on that.
But magical scrying isn't working.
Maybe I can call in a favor.
Saith pulls out Asmodeus' daughter's business card.
What is that?
A gift for pissing off Asmodeus.
She hands it to Ryan.
She takes it, looks it over. I'm surprised to see that you, of all people, would suggest dealing with devils.
Desperate times.
Hard to argue.
It's not about me. It's about Odart. And I want to do everything and anything I can to set that little boy free.
Well, I would take deals with devils over tearing down the walls of reality.
And Tara kind of steps almost next to Forngul in a way, and is like, and her eyes kind of glimmer for a second. She's like, what about deals with the Fae?
I don't know. They can be kind of tricky.
They can be, but you guys do have a strong connection with them.
Oh, yeah!
Ryan, your heart's in the right place, but I think your solution's a bit more brute force than it need be. Have you tried using our connections to these different planes of existence to have, like, scrying done by others that are native to that plane?
As I said before I even said the plan, believe me, I don't like it.
And yes, I had considered that possibility, but whatever plane it is on almost feels as if it's more... It's like trying to find the specific point within the astral plane that someone's bag of holding is connected to. A near impossible task. Though, I suppose, Saith's idea could work. It is at this point, though, that the door into this room opens up, and Barden walks in.
Hello, ma'am. Hate to interrupt, but I had news that some people that you had called for had arrived. They should be arriving shortly.
He is just sort of like standing at attention next to Saith. Saith, he's not really paying you much mind.
I know. He's working.
Yeah, but even under normal circumstances, he would at least give you like a passing glance. Like, you clock even by his standards. This is like oddly cold.
Ah, hurtful. I mean, she just kind of assumes he's working, and she'll ask him about it later, but not here.
Wait, did we catch that too?
I feel like you guys have seen enough interaction with the Barden to know his particular level of desperation.
Hmm.
Hey, Barden, we still on for Friday night?
Yeah, definitely.
We didn't have any plans for Friday night. This is an imposter!
It's at this point that Barden enters the room. Like,
oh, sorry, I just had to run from the portal area. We have guests in the... God damn it.
And you see
yep.
The other Barden crack a shitting grin. It's like, well, that was fun while it lasted. And changes back into their native changeling form. Good to see you again, Miss Ryan. Honestly, I'm a little ashamed I didn't catch that.
Yeah. Me too.
And following Barden shortly after is this wood elf comes in holding this regal-looking bow.
Hello, we've just arrived. I apologize if Ren caused any problems.
Ren, of course, shoots that same shitting grin right back over to this new person.
I am the king of reading the room wrong and taking a joke too far at a wrong moment, and even I think that was in poor taste.
You get used to it. My name is Clover. I am the, what's known as the Keeper of Keone Falls. Miss Ryan has asked me to come by to aid you all, in your endeavors to end the apocalypse, as it were. I'm not entirely sure what I might be able to do, but whatever you all think, whatever it is that you all need me for, I'm more than happy to provide my aid. So what is the plan?
Hopefully not tearing down walls between dimensions.
I'm sorry, what?
We were trying to discuss what the best possible way would be to get to our dimension, our portal.
Uh-huh. And she kind of like looks over to Ryan's like, and you wanted to use me to tear down... No, okay.
We're not doing that one. We're figuring out a different thing.
Okay, good. Good. Well, I'm not entirely sure if it will be of aid, but... And she holds up her bow. It's like, as the keeper, I do have... several abilities latent within this bow, and my task is to be able to keep the borders between the worlds stable, so hopefully I can aid in some way with that without destroying those borders, I would hope.
Me too.
And this is another piece I'm going to provide you guys, is Ren to a lesser extent, and Clover. Who has keeper powers, which we can play kind of fast and loose with. That was, I don't believe even when you ran this, it was very clearly described.
Nope, I just kind of described it as, like, the cool object rather than anything further than that, because I didn't think she was coming back. But now she is, so which is cool.
Yeah. I gotta ignore something called the Keeper.
When Tara asks in the character, it's just kind of, you know, regrouping the room after all of this. So scrying isn't working?
Unfortunately, no, but ideally we should be able to... Yavim should be able to locate Narif relatively soon. He's been out handling that job for the better part of a month now, so I assume he is close. The two of them share a very powerful bond.
Does he think he can get within a mile of him?
Well, most certainly. Why?
I mean, most druids and some warlocks, some wizards can use their bond with people to jump to them, basically.
Hmm.
But you have to be within a mile of them. It doesn't matter what plane they're on.
Suppose something like that could work. That would give us access to the gem once again. Though, I am sure that ODOT would have provided some means of complicating things for Vincent to keep him stuck there. So, I do not know that the gem itself will be enough.
Can I ask something out of character?
Yeah, what up?
What about Greta? Original Greta?
She's on the table.
Would it make sense for Arlo to know about Greta in character?
We've referenced Greta in character. That was something Wintera asked Arlo about during one of the trials we just had to do.
I know a guy, so...
He's used his, but Arlo, I would say also, I could imagine him, like, being nosy enough to have figured that one out.
Yeah.
He feels like the goss boy of the group.
Fair enough.
Unless you're going to count the time T-Shop plays. I think Seth and I both have the I know a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm fully going to use the T-Shop as the I know a guy, because that's definitely... No, you have to say you're using it before I'll count it. That'd be sadistic if I got to decide when it counts.
Well, I feel like it would be weird for Greta to be anyone's I know a guy, being that she's an agent of Damned.
Yeah. I mean, she's also... She would also be listed as such, so, like, she could just be, like, that person you guys, like, have never met but have heard about. And given that Arlo has recently taken more of a, like, stance to, like, try and build up Damned, I feel like it would be well within the realm of possibility for him to at least be tangentially aware of her.
So what about, have we made contact with Greta, the emergency, like, teleportation correspondent?
She got teleported away elsewhere. We have been having a difficult time finding her. I did send some people to try and track her down, but I haven't heard anything back from them yet.
Mm-hmm.
It is at this point that the door gets kicked open. This door is being hella disrespected today, but fuck it. At the door, you do not see anyone immediately. However, a plume of pink smoke begins to pour its way in. You hear what sounds like distant, sort of like ethereal music playing, but not like super great quality. Almost like it's being played off of like someone's Walkman. And you hear these steps as the music gets louder and louder, and soon you see this shadow looming in the smoke as they step forward. Confetti is thrown from the smoke, and you all hear, "Yes, yes, it is I, the Grey Greta, returned from my slumber. I am here to find the boy Odart. Yes, yes, I am. It is I!" A light flashes from behind Greta, who has appeared suddenly. And you don't, like, it's... The light looks like it's coming from a flashlight behind Greta. But Greta is clearly not holding it, as she has been throwing confetti. But it looks like some sort of, like, kid is behind Greta in, like, this really long, like, black coat sort of thing. Looks kind of try hard. And
Then following them, you also see this high elf wearing a crop top.
Oh my god.
And a firbolg that looks extremely shy kind of wander in, and the half elf sort of slaps the other guy on the head.
What's up, bitches? I'm here. Here to help.
Ow! Why'd you hit me?
Fuck off.
Oh, maybe. I see you were all successful.
She does like a peace sign, like pose, camera pose.
Who the fuck are these randoms?
We are the heroes that will save this fallen world. We are the ones who will... The interns.
Wait, I remember you. You got me a sandwich the other day and it was cold by the time it got back.
You're welcome.
I didn't say thank you.
Don't ask for sandwiches that are all the way across the Faerun Plains.
Timid is meekly going to pull a book out of her bag of holding and hand it back to Bookworm.
She'll take it and like give like a like nod and a smile.
Fearbulg nod.
Timid just, yep, thank you.
I sent them out to find Greta, thinking that it would be a simple enough task for them. I wasn't expecting it to take quite this long. I suppose their timing is impeccable, if nothing else.
I want to ask a question of the four of you.
Artemis flips Arlo off.
Cool. Were you waiting for me to mention Greta before you all showed up?
Wait, hold on. I am sensing that you doubt Greta's powers. Behold! And she, like, flips over her hand to reveal a playing card. And she says, "Behold the power of Greta." And Dennis just, like, backs off, just, like, applauding wildly.
Artemis also applauds, just holding up the facade. Does not believe in it at all, but holds up the facade.
Timid does the very polite...
visual.
She taps, like, the top of her hand with the other hand. It's very polite.
Ryan is visibly pinching her brow.
Arlo looks to Ryan and is like, "Is this what it feels like when you interact with us?"
"Yes, all the time, but somehow worse."
"Wow, this is incredibly frustrating."
Winter is like, "Oh,
yes,
wow.
Yes, it is!
I'm so sorry."
"Look, despite appearances..." Rude. "Greta is capable of tracking down Odot. That is her primary job here at Damned. So, finding her here is certainly helpful. If not, infuriating. Though, with this, I do feel as though there are more pieces falling into place now."
"That is good."
"When we hear back from Yavam, and we can manage to get within the mile, we can then, presumably, use Greta to try and pinpoint Arlo through the gem. Even if it is weakened, her powers should still be more than enough to pierce through any veils that Odot may have set up. That is what she does."
"Hell yeah, boy!"
"Greta, please stop."
Actually, ooh, Greta's kind of growing on me.
"Oh no.
Greta, can you do a backflip?"
"Yes, behold!" She makes Dennis do a backflip. And then throws confetti.
"Go, Greta!"
Arlo just like nods, like, "Seems legit."
"Go, Greta!"
"Once we have the pinpoint on that location, then, in theory, we might be able to use Clover's abilities to not destroy, but weaken the barrier enough for a teleportation spell to work."
"We'll have to have some sort of backup to prevent him from leaking out."
"Hmm.
Can we have another at the ready to prepare another spell, basically to lock us in?"
I suppose at that point we could just have Clover reestablish the border once everyone who needs to go in is in.
I have another contingency we might want to consider.
Go on.
So it seems that this Vincent character is affecting pretty much only the prime material plane with the Nightwalkers and causing the apocalypse here. The other planes are not yet affected.
Wintera slowly raises a hand.
Hold. The other planes are not yet affected meaningfully. Better. What I mean to say is, in the event of our failure, and only in the event of our failure, it might be good for us to come up with a plan to buy the rest of the world time. Shunting us and Vincent and everybody else somewhere on a far plane, maybe like even the ethereal plane, so that everyone who's left on this world has a little bit more time to try to figure something else out.
Wintera looks incredibly nervous as the fact that the Nightwalkers are basically frozen in time on the Feywild timescape becomes more and more apparent. This panic just sets in on her face that if they all fail, they just start like basically ravaging the Feywild because the Feywild's plan is to rely on them. So this pure look of panic is just like immediate.
Wintera, why do you look so nervous? I mean, everything about the Feywild tells me, like from your journeys tells me that it's like it's all fine and dandy over there.
Arlo, I've told you about my journeys to the Feywilds and what they have seen.
I mean, yeah, but like outside of that, like it seems like they've got it pretty under control, so they've got to have like a killer plan on their end.
Arlo, their plan is to rely on us.
What?
Go Feywild! Greta throws more confetti.
Greta, the confetti is not appropriate.
In Kordax!
That just kind of makes this all a little bit more final, huh?
I just talked to hear some earlier today, and, oh god, he said that their plan is our plan. To rely on us.
Then that just means we have to make sure we succeed. Saith, I believe that card will be our final countermeasure that Arlo has stated. Return the favor if it seems that all hope is lost, and imprison us somewhere that he can never escape. It is better than letting him continue to do as he wants.
Yes, ma'am.
Suppose all that is left now is to wait to hear from Yavim and gather our forces.
And wait for all of our soldiers to heal after Ryan beat him up till bad.
Considering Fey time, that should give the Feywild plenty of time to get here.
Thank you, Wintera. All right, then. Ready yourselves. When next we meet, it may be for the last time. Make sure you have no regrets before we head off. You are all dismissed. And that is where we shall pause our tale for now.
Hello, everyone. This is your sometimes benevolent, often malevolent Dungeon Master, Jordan Hoshi-Roman, thanking you all for listening to this episode. Don't go anywhere just yet. We got some hilarious bloopers at the end that you want to listen to. Before that, a few quick plugs. Most notably, our Patreon. Head on over to patreon.com/agentsofdamned so you can get access to all of the bonus content we have to offer, including our peek behind the screen after show, our monthly Tales of series, and our monthly shoutouts. This month goes to SC Lark and Paul from the other podcast that we've worked with for Bardrock FA. You also get access to our monthly one-shot raffles where you get to participate in a one-shot with the cast. They've always been a lot of fun, so pick a level and support the show. You can also find out more about us over on our website at agentsofdamned.com, where you can get full cast bios, transcriptions of the episodes, and access to our merch, which you can also find at tpublic.com/user/AOD. You can find us on all of our socials at Facebook with AOD, Instagram and TikTok at Agents of Damned, and Twitter at Agents of D. Our Twitters are myself at Pokechap, Christina at Greekachu, Katie at Missy Mystery, spelled M-Y-S-S-Y Mystery, and Drew over at Liger Sero.
Liger, C-E-R, and the number 0. You can also join us over on our Discord, which you can find links to on our link tree and occasionally on our Twitter. So just keep an eye out for all that. Really fun server. I recommend hopping on. Also, check us out on Twitch every Saturday, or most Saturdays, starting at noon to see whatever we happen to be streaming at the time. It's kind of just a mixed bag of whatever we feel like doing. A lot of fun. Come check it out at twitch.tv/AODcast. Finally, don't forget to leave us a review on your podcasting platform of choice and share the show with a friend. Every little bit helps us to grow and make the show better for you. Until next time. Bye.
This sucks! What is wrong, Betty? I'm trying to figure out a new dessert option for the menu. Apparently people don't like dark chocolate anchovy grill parfait!
It is an interesting issue. Have you considered searching outside of ourselves? Perhaps might I recommend, just cheesecakes by Tina Rose.
Who that?
Who that? Why... Just Cheesecake by Tina Rose is a local bakery that specializes in cheesecake found in southern Charlotte, North Carolina. As the name implies, they make cheesecake.
Is that all? I mean, hell, I can do that.
Oh, Betty, you misunderstand. They make so many. They have regular cheesecake. They have cupcake cheesecake. They have so many amazing options for you to choose from.
Interesting. Where can I find them?
You can find them on facebook.com at Just Cheesecakes by Tina Rose. There they have all sorts of pictures of all of the different cheesecake that they make. And when you're ready to order, you can contact them there.
Sounds good. I guess I'll give that a shot.
Remember, Betty, it's Just Cheesecakes by Tina Rose.
You're not mad, are you?
And then they fucked.
No.
No, shut up.
No.
This isn't Sathan Barton, all right? This one's not pure Sathan Barton. And innocent.
It sounds like you're about to peg this man.
God! Not like that! Stop it! Y'all horny fucks!
I'm just saying.
No, I just need you to bite down on this rag. Trust
stop.
Me.
Look, I just need you to trust me. Look.
Does this rag smell like chloroform?
He's gotta relax.
Oh, God!
He's gotta relax.
Stop.
Jesus, anywho. Fuck.
Wintara, can I ask you something?
What's up?
Don't think of elephants. What are you thinking of right now?
What am I thinking of right now?
Yeah.
Wind.
Did you hear the first one?
No!
Okay. Okay. But that explains why that didn't work. That explains it. It's like, wow, way to just no butt.
That was just so precious and still so naive.
Because a bookworm. Like, I was like, sorry, my girlfriend uses the wind to communicate. I'm still thinking about her.
May I get a second pass at that since you didn't hear the first thing that I said?
If you want, if you need it.
It'll make more sense why I asked that. Because without the context of that, it sounds like you just basically shut me down.
Sorry.
Which is very funny, but also I don't know what to do with that now.
No, without elements.
Yes. Okay, so, yes, you in favor. Wintara, whatever you do, do not think about elephants. What are you thinking about right now?
Do the seasons count?
What? Elephants. Elefante.
No, he's animal.
Wait, oh, like elephants. You said yes. Elephants. I thought you said elements.
No.
Like we know there.
Like, why is she so resistant to this?
Elephant. You should have gone the animal with the trunk.
Oh my lord. Sorry.
So she's normally so good at yes anding me. What is happening? She's just so unwilling to go along with this bit.
So
I see what you're trying to do, Hoshi. Yeah.
Without thinking about elephants. And when Tara, like, unfortunately is like, what the fuck is an elephant, Pearsome? Hold on, stop.